So this is it. This is the end of the sermon series for Galatians 5. I love this chapter. I love the many ways that God has spoke to us and transformed our lives. And before we go into that, I just wanted to share, like I said, this week was just beautiful. It was amazing. I had a chance to get to know a lot of new pastors, and I just want you to know that I shared with them and the presbytery all the great things that are happening at First Presbyterian Church, and I want you to know that's honest, and I told them it's really a soft shell. You're coming up here to a great church, great leadership, and just listen, listen, and maybe within a year, God might be calling you to come up here. So great, but also I had another experience that was just really kind of strange, and I didn't even plan for it, and I want to make sure that, what did I do? I want to make sure I get my phone. You're going, Pastor Peter, phones, yeah. I have to show you, or at least read something to you, and, well, where did it go? I feel like, oh, goodness, the nut, where did I go with that phone? All right. Oh, there it is. Okay, here's my phone. So, here it is, Friday night, I get an email from Alaska Airlines. And what they said is that, they said, we upgraded your passage. You're now riding first class. And not only the first class from Boise to Seattle, but also Seattle to Fairbanks. And I don't know if you ever had that situation before. I'm sitting there going, okay, let me look at my account. They take more money out of my, had me charge more money for this. And I said, nope. So I got there, and so the first one, I felt kind of sheepish about it. So I actually stayed at the very end, and when everybody loaded the first plane, it was a smaller plane, I kind of snuck in there and sat in my seat, and all I got was a Diet Coke. Well, the other plane was much, much bigger at Seattle, and I got on there, and I'm thinking, they're saying that it's a full plane, we're going to have problems with your carry-on, so if you have to, if you might have to, you know, check it in. And I thought, I don't want to do that. So I went ahead and went with the first class people. And I got there, and I'm seat number 4, and I'm sitting there, and people are coming in. And I tell you, it felt really awkward. I kept looking out of the window, kept looking at my phone. So I wrote a letter. I said, family, because I have a text to all my family. I said, I'm struggling here, and that I got this first class thing, and I said, it is awkward. I'm in seat number 4, people are passing, and this is so pretentious for me. It just feels so awkward. And so I told my whole family this, and then I got all these emails. Gotta just enjoy it. Just enjoy it. Yeah, enjoy it. You know, and I'm sitting there and thinking, you know, I felt like I didn't deserve it, but God reminded me of grace. Right? We don't deserve it. I didn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. But God comes into our life and he provides his love at one of the best times in our life. And sometimes we feel a little awkward over it, but God just wants to say to us, just enjoy it. Enjoy the free gifts I give to you. So a great lesson. That probably never be first class again in my life, but that was a unique issue. I did on the plane from Seattle to Fairbanks, I got this amazing meal. So that it was worth it. It was worth it. Well, I think a lot of us here, parents, you know, you struggle with teenager boys and boys in their 20s. And we had 3 boys. And, you talk to them and you go, so how was school today? Good. Okay. Did you learn anything? Yeah. What was like science class? It was good. Okay, how was wrestling today? It was really awesome. So, you know, you sit there and going, okay, stop with the one phrase conversation. It was really difficult. So we had to find a different way to get our boys talking. So what we did is we learned to say, hey, let's put your phone to the side and we're just going to go on a walk. And when we did that, our boys just started to open up. We told them 15 minutes, we'll time it. But in that walk, as we're walking together, it was a time for them just to open up. And to this day, my youngest son, who's 22, lives with us, he can't wait to take a walk with mom or dad and Ellie or Doc. We don't even have to beg him. Hey, Gabe, you want to go for a walk? Yep. And he just loves the time that we walk, and he just talks. He opens up. And so I want you to consider, if you're struggling with the guys a little bit, or even your daughters, you know, just say, hey, let's go for a little walk. But also for the young parents, I want you to know that you can establish this early, is that one of the best things to do is bedtime. Bedtime, think about it for a second. They're in bed, and this is their safe place. This is a place that they own. They feel very comfortable, and this is the place where they open up. So I know we've got a lot of good things going on with our time, but just put 10 minutes on your phone, put it by you, and just take 10 minutes just to talk to your child, every one of your child. And before you know it, they will just open up. It's one of the best times in a day. They're ready to sleep, but they are safe, they're secure, and they own this little space, and it's some of our best times. So grandparents and moms and dads, if you haven't done that, I encourage you to do that. It is going to be some of the best times in your life. So I share that because today we're talking about the importance of walking with God. And we end this series with this very clear picture that God wants us to walk with him. And again, I just want to re-highlight this. This is a great story, a wonderful story. And we can never forget that everything in scriptures has to do with a story in which God engages us to be a part of the story. We talked about pretending here, but God actually wants us to be able to sit there and say, I want you to be putting yourself into this story because you're in that story. Allow this story, this scene happening to you. And I believe that when we do that, it becomes a greater way of really understanding the whole scenario. So here it is. You know, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. The resurrection, he rose from the dead, and now he's in a process of leaving. And he gets with his disciples, and he promised them that one, when I'm going to leave, which they struggled before the resurrection, I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send you, God, my Father and I are going to send you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to be with you and in you for the rest of the days. And there's so many beautiful qualities about that. So he says, but I want you to wait. I'm leaving. You wait. You're going to be filled. You're going to be baptized. You're going to be empowered. And your life is going to look so, so differently. And then God ushers in the church in the same Acts, in the book of Acts, and an amazing church. And this church comes together, and it provides us a model. But now God's desire and God's vision is that not only for the Jewish people to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior, but also the Gentile nation. So there's a church in Galatia of all the places that it's working. They got the Gentiles coming together. They got the Jewish people to come together. They're having fellowship. They're worshiping. They're receiving God's grace. Great things were happening. They're actually liking each other because they come from different mores. As you know, the Jewish people had very strict religious ways of living. Now they're feeling the freedom to live the way that God intended us to live. Over here with the Gentile people, they had such looseness in everything they did. Then now they come together and realize there's such good in the law because it provides them safety. It provides them direction. And they come together looking differently, acting differently, and they're worshiping God. And this church is just a beautiful example of what God wants in this world. And then Jerusalem decides to send a couple leaders and saying, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. No, you're doing it wrong. You know, unless you guys get circumcision, you can't be a part of the family. You can't be a part of God's kingdom. And obviously, I just want you to know, Paul wrote it, but remember, God inspired Paul. And the very first thing that we've learned in Galatians 5, Galatians chapter 1, was this, that if anybody takes the gospel, this beautiful gift, this amazing gift that has come through you, through faith, as I give it to you, and someone switches it, someone damages, someone puts some type of condition on it, let that person be accursed. Now, God was very clear, not, as you know, not accursed once, a curse twice. And that's a beautiful example for us leaders. When we hear another gospel, when we hear another situation where people are putting conditions on God's grace, we have to sit back as leaders and say, no, this is wrong. Okay, so now we have a division. And he's addressing that division in Galatians. And just want you to know that churches do have division. And division is one of the worst things that a church can ever go through. Lots of terrible things happen, and we hear all the horror stories of division and all the things that people would do and say and the words and just the hurt, the pain, and God says, no, I don't want you to live that way. I don't want you to be responding to your flesh. You're bigger than that. You're supposed to be responding to the Spirit. And he gives us examples of how people respond to the flesh. And we talked about it. Just a quick insight is that these things provide pain, division, hurt, and death in relationships. And God is saying, you're experiencing that right now. So what we're going to do, God says, I want you to understand what are the things that has caused this. Now, what are the things that we can do to bring healing, bring ways just to get better and just truly enjoy God's gift to us of fellowship in his presence. So, you know, the first obvious things are the sexual stuff. You know, that's the stuff that happens that we respond, and we can respond in a very negative way. And Paul talks about it. God talks about it. So be very careful because that just brings all type of brokenness in your lives. Then he goes into idolatry and witchcraft. And basically that means is that I'm letting something else controlling me. I'm letting an idol control me. I've given my allegiance to this idol that's controlling my self-worth and controlling my identity. Also, witchcraft is saying, I'm going to bring something into my life which can control my circumstances. So God says, that is not a good thing. But here's the other part. Make it very clear with regard to division. He says, what happens when we have conflict in a situation that gets out of hand and the flesh responds, there is hatred, there is discord, there is jealousy, there's fits of rage, there's selfish ambition, dissension, factions, and envy. And God says, that is not the way to deal with conflict. And this will bring hurt. So don't respond to your flesh. And then drunkenness and orgies and the like. So I warned you, and this is very clear, we will not inherit the kingdom of God. And it's not about us losing our salvation. It's about missing out all the beautiful things that God wants us to receive and experience as we walk with God, as we walk with the Holy Spirit, as we allow the Holy Spirit become a part of everything we do. And what happens is God's kingdom becomes so much amazingly large. We see all the blessings in that. But as we walk with the flesh, we find ourselves not in the kingdom of God. We're outside of that kingdom. And God says, I want you just truly experience the amazement of being in my kingdom and all the ways that I can love you and care for you. Then he gives us this little beautiful thing about the fruit of the Spirit. So instead of responding to the flesh, he says, this is the way that you respond. Allow for the Holy Spirit to grow in your life. Allow the Holy Spirit to transform you. And the only way that happens is to recognize that the Holy Spirit is with you and in you, but you have to walk with the Spirit. Allow that beautiful, transforming relationship come in your life and everything we do. And when that happens, now when you find yourselves in these situations, again, what we learn from walks of the flesh, it's an emotional response to the situation around us. But walking in the Spirit means that in those emotional, tense moments in our life where we want to hate, where we want to cause division and discord and slander and gossip and all those things, God says, okay, respond to the Spirit. It's hard, but listen to me. I've transformed your heart. Instead of responding in hatred and discord, I want you to respond in love. I want you to respond in patience and peace and joy. Said, those are things that are not emotional. Those are things that are a part of my Spirit and part of my kingdom. And as you utilize that, those virtues in the midst of this, and allow for yourself to, in the midst of where your emotions are speaking out, that these things will change the situation. And I shared this with you before. The way you measure a mature Christian, like elders, like deacons and leaders, the way you measure that person is, are they either responding and living and exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit, or they keep showing themselves to be responding to the works of the flesh. That's why nominating committee is so important, is that listen to the call, but we choose qualified leaders who are people who walk in the Spirit and exhibit fruit. So just always a reminder for all of us. So at the end, there's two verses that we're just going to end here really quickly. So I'm going to use 26 first. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. He says that when we walk in the Spirit, that these things about conceit, I'm better, I got the answers, I know better, I have all these great gifts, I could, you know, I'm God's gift. Provoking one another, you know, arguing, you know, I want to just frustrate you, I want to somehow pick at you, provoking you, making you feel uncomfortable, annoying you, and stop envying one another, meaning that you have something that I want, and I feel that I want it, and I don't like the fact that you have it because I don't have it, and I'm going to respond in that way. So God says, hey, when you walk in the Spirit, you're moving on from that. So let's look at that last verse, and we'll end with this. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. And that is from the English translation, and I just want you to know personally, I don't like that translation. I don't believe it's a proper translation from Greek. But in fact, if you translate it from Greek, in Greek, when you translate it, it's kind of weird. It's because it's syntax and all that. It says, if we live in the Spirit, and in the Spirit also let us walk. That's how Greek is. So the better translation is from the American Standard Version, or the New American Standard, is if we live by the Spirit let us walk also walk. Or, if we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. It's the walking. It's the walking. It's understanding what that means. And God's intent was always to walk with us. I want you to think about that for a second. God's intent was always to walk with us. And here is the perfect example. Genesis 3:8. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. God's intent was always, when it comes to his children, is to walk with them. To walk with them. To know each other. To enjoy life together. To be together. His desire is to walk with us. That's why he created us, that's why he redeemed us, and that's why he adopted us back into the family. That idea of walking is so very important. The God of this universe, oh my, let's think about this. The God of this universe, the God of the sun, the God of everything that's made, the God of DNA wants to walk with us. For some people, that's crazy thinking. But for our faith, our understanding of Scripture, and what Jesus taught us was, no, he wants to walk with you. He truly loves not just the once-a-day walk, but he wants to walk with us moment by moment by moment. So this theme is kind of simple. God's intent was to walk with us as we live out his life for us. So, walking. God's intent was to walk with us. I mean, it's you know, I can't speak it more clear, but can you think of all the beautiful times when you had a great walk with your children or with your spouse? There's something about walking with that person, but being just with that person, whatever you do, that's probably one of the hardest things that I miss being up here as a father and as a husband. Is I truly love face-to-face time. I love it. You know, hey, phone, email, good stuff. But there's something about the 3D. There's something about being in a person's presence. It's something, seeing all their nuances and seeing their faces and seeing their expressions. All those things are a part of communicating. All those ways are part of connecting with us in a very special way. The same way God wants us to walk with God, just to enjoy and just to learn from who he is and how he can be a part of our life. And it's not something that just happens in a just once a day, but God wants us to be able to walk with him every part of the day. And as we live out his life for, as we live out his life for us, God has this great adventure. He has this amazing life for us. And as God walks with us, he is showing us, here, let me put you on this adventure. Let me show you. Let's go over here. Let's do this together. Let's do this together. I mean, how many times have you, we have planned out our lives thinking, this is the way that I want it. And God says, I'm going to give you a better adventure. I'm going to give you a better way of living life. Have you ever been there before? How many times in my life have I planned my life thinking it's going to go this way or that way, and God puts me in a whole different adventure, and maybe at those times when I'm in the midst of it, I'm going, I don't want to be here. But God reveals his goodness, always reveals his goodness in the midst of that walk and that journey, and you sit back and go, God, I couldn't have done it better. I could not have done it better. So, it's a walk with God. It is a walk in which he is revealing my life and how my life should be lived. There was, you remember in the 80s that a lot of churches in worship, they used to do skits. You remember that? Yeah, skits. I mean, we used to do skits almost every Sunday in the 80s, maybe in the 90s. And, you know, and that was just a big thing. But I just want you to know that skits, I still remember a lot of skits. They're like they're imprinted in my mind and my heart. And in one skit, when I was in Bible college, a young man just learned about Christ. And there's one skit that still sticks with me today in a good, bad, in a way, in a bad way. Okay. So it had to do with two people coming up. And so there's a front door, and this young woman comes up. Let's make it a young man. A young man comes in, and it was a young man. He comes in, and right next to him as he walks to the door is Jesus, a guy dressed up in Jesus. And he walks, and you could see him walking from one to the kitchen and to the living room and all this, and Jesus is walking with him, and you could see this amazing dialogue, this amazing closeness, this amazing relationship. And then he gets a phone call, and it's his girlfriend. His girlfriend, I'd like to have you come over, and let's spend some time together. And so he hangs up, and he realizes what this all means. So he just sits there and says, okay, Jesus, I just want you to know, I'm going to be with my girlfriend for a bit, and I want you to just sit right here. Just right there. Just sit right there. I'll be back. You know, a couple, 3 hours, just sit right there. Yeah, and so he gets up, you know, and Jesus comes right up and walks with him. Oh, no, Jesus, you need to know that. I'm going to be with my girlfriend. It's just, you know, it's sort of a private special time. We just want some private time. So he puts the young man, Jesus, back in. Just sit right here. You know, sit right here. So he starts to leave, and then guess who's right with him? Now he is frustrated. Now he's mad. This is the part I don't like. So he takes Jesus, and he takes him to the wall, and he takes a pretend hammer and just nails his hands and says, you stay there, and he walks away. See, I love the skit because it's not a right skit. But there's a lot of truth to it. Jesus wants us to be with us in everything we do. And we think that we can leave Jesus when we don't want Jesus to be with us. I'm going into a new place. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And so, you know, I'm leaving Jesus. I could do this new thing on my work. I could go to my work, leave Jesus behind, and be whatever person I want to be at my work. Or I could go to school, and I could leave Jesus behind. He's over there. And I could do whatever I want. I could act whatever I want. I could do whatever. I could, you know, be with the gang, say whatever I want. And so we're thinking that we're leaving Jesus back here. Okay, so we do that. We go to a party, the same thing. Okay, Jesus, stay here. I'm going to the party. And we go out there and we do whatever we want because we left Jesus behind. You know, he's not there with us, and I do all the things that I do, recreation, whatever it is. And the reality is God never leaves us. He never, ever, ever leaves us. He lives within us. He's with us. And wherever we walk, at work, at home, at play, wherever, Jesus is with us. The Holy Spirit is with us. See, some of us thinking that's a pain. I just want to be doing my own thing sometimes. And God says, no, just I'm here to be a blessing. I'm here to help you. I'm here to love you. I'm here when you get in those situations where you think I'm not there, I'm here. And, you know, and I'm also there speaking to you in a small voice, reminding you that, hey, I'm here. And I want to help you to get through whatever you're going through. That is the gift that God wants us. And I'll end with that. Is that God's intent was always, always to walk with us. God gave us His Holy Spirit, and the beautiful thing, the Holy Spirit is walking with us. God wants us to recognize that goodness that comes with it, and all the beautiful blessings. As we walk with God, as we acknowledge His presence, as we respond to His voice, as we know Him through this amazing story, something happens to us. We transform, the Holy Spirit, and the fruit of the Holy Spirit is growing, and suddenly we find ourselves responding with the fruit of the Spirit instead of with our flesh. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank You so much that You remind us that You love us and You want to walk with us. Help us to always remember that You're always going to be with us. Even when we feel like we can get away from You, that You're always there. And for our good. For our good. We pray this in Your Son's name. Amen. So, this table is another beautiful reminder. And God, Jesus said it very clearly, that I'm with you. For some reason, this morning, we didn't get the point that Jesus is with you. But Jesus says, I'm with you. This is a representation of My body. And I promise you that this is a means of My grace, that I'm here with you, My presence is real, and when you partake, you are realizing that I am with you. And if you can imagine that, Pastor Peter passing you the bread or passing you the cup, because I was not the one who originated this, but on that night, Jesus Christ did that very same beautiful thing. He turned to His disciples in His presence and passed the bread and passed the cup. He was there. And God says, I have given you the Holy Spirit so that when you are receiving this, you're knowing that you're receiving this because I'm the one giving it to you. I'm the one letting you know that My presence is real. So Jesus Christ took the bread on that night and says, this bread right here is broken. Will be broken, but is broken. Broken for you. Beaten, real. Real substance, real. And I want you to take this bread and eat this in remembrance of our Lord and Savior. And then He did this. He said He took the cup of redemption. And He said, this cup is a representation of My blood being poured out for you so that you can have this amazing new covenant, and that is to have a beautiful adopted relationship with your Father in heaven, that this blood has to be poured out. This has to be given to cover your sins. Drink this in remembrance of Me. So I'd like to have